very big welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport on 98FM.
98FM, Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Yeah, good morning. Hello there. You're very welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport here on Dublin's 98FM. On today's show, between now and 10am, it's all about Ireland and tomorrow's make or break Euro 2020 qualifier against Denmark. We'll be asking a number of boys in green all the hard questions.
That's a good question.
Memories that I can take away with me and bring to the grave with myself.
It's massive for the country. You know, I suppose we want to get revenge on them and get the 3 points on Monday.
What sort of words would you use if I asked you to describe the Ireland v Denmark rivalry over recent times?
Boring.
We always end up giving ourselves a great chance, which we have done now on Monday night.
To be honest with you, I just want us to get there, so I think that's what everybody's looking forward to now.
Hopefully we can create one of those moments in Irish history.
Troy Parrott, Jack Byrne, James McLean, Robbie Brady, Alan George and Alan Brown will be here, plus ex-Ireland man Darren O'Dea. We'll find out who Ireland manager Mick McCarthy is talking about.
He's confident in here, stands up and sings, he can play football, good looking. Hey ho, where did it all go wrong for him?
I've got a pair of tickets for the game for you to win as well. Martina Cox will give us an update on how her husband Sean's recovery is going after he returned to Anfield for the first time after an unprovoked attack by Italian football fans in April 2018.
He's good. He's doing well. He's in a rehab facility in Sheffield. He's been there since September. So he's starting to make progress.
We'll check in with Leinster after their European Champions Cup opening day win yesterday, and myself and Nathan will round up the rest of the stories of the weekend, including some good news for the girls in blue.
98FM. Now that's what I call sport.
Nathan Whelan, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm very excited about tomorrow night at the Aviva.
I'm really nervous.
I'm not working at it. I'm bringing my little cousin Art to his first Ireland game, and he's very excited, and I'm very excited to watch it as a fan, because normally in the press box you can't really like cheer or get too excited and stuff, and sometimes it's actually hard to actually watch the full match because you're doing reports and you're doing tweets and this and that. So it's going to be actually nice to be at the game and watch the game and cheer the lads on. What words would you use to describe how you're feeling about it?
Apprehensive. Okay. And I know that we're in a good position coming into this game, but you still want to see them do well, especially after the great performance against New Zealand. You think they have it in them, but it's just about going in and applying it against a top side like Denmark.
Yeah, well, a very different team will play against Denmark and, of course, New Zealand, Denmark. A bit of a difference in quality there. Now, the newspapers, Sunday papers, are packed to rafters with Irish headlines and the coverage. I love International Week because we get to do all the press conferences and the interviews and speak to loads of the players, and just there's so much to read and listen to and watch about this game.
Yes, and the back page of the Sun Sport goes with Whiz Kids Are Ready. The back page of the Irish Mail on Sunday says Robbie Keane says go and make that moment, be a hero. And the back page of the Sunday World says seize the Danes. I see what they did there.
Yes, and Darren Randolph is fit, has trained fully, and thank God our number one goalkeeper will be in goal for Ireland tomorrow. And if we win, we make Euro 2020 with two guaranteed group games for Ireland in Dublin. If we don't win, results over the weekend mean that we will be in a Euro 2020 playoff semi-final, and it could be against Northern Ireland. The draw is on in Neon on Friday. And how cool would that be if we don't qualify tomorrow to face Northern Ireland in a semi-final playoff? They'll take place at the end of March. It's one semi-final, so it's one leg, and then one leg in the final, and yeah, like, I kind of hope Ireland get there, but if we don't get there, I hope we get Northern Ireland, because that would be brilliant.
It would be a huge game, considering all the talk around the All-Ireland League, possibly as well. So this could see, you know, a huge step in that direction as well.
Yeah, it could be an away semi-final, which would be interesting to going up the road there to Windsor Park to cheer on the boys in green against the other boys in green.
The other boys in green, that's their official name, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is, of course. Now, Troy Parrott, 17 years old, made his debut against New Zealand, started the game, Ireland's third youngest ever player. His mentor, Robbie Keane, is one of the other younger ones, and like played 60 minutes, and you could just sense the crowd was only 18,000, but every time he got the ball, there was this buzz of excitement cheering him on, and that chance he had to score, like the crowd were like really, really, really willing him on.
Yeah, as you mentioned there's such a buzz surrounding him because of how well he's done over in England, because not many players make waves as the same way as Troy Parrott has. Obviously, Robbie Keane would come to mind when he was in his earlier days, but you could just see that buzz of anticipation surrounding his bright, bright future that he definitely has in the green jersey.
Yeah, from Dublin, played for Belvedere for years as a schoolboy player, and like There's a great photo with himself and Austin Skelly, his manager at schoolboy level, who kind of looked after him when he was a kid and stuff, and that was really, really nice as well. And Troy has been reacting to that debut.
I was just delighted to get out there, and obviously walking out in the green jersey in my hometown in Dublin is just the best feeling I've ever felt. But I think just the all-around occasion, not any moments during the game, but just making that debut and sort of the feeling walking out onto the pitch, I think that's the main one I'll take away. I felt like I'd done well. I had a couple of chances, could have taken them maybe, but I felt like I'd done well, yeah. It's about scoring goals and getting assists and sort of creating chances, so unluckily enough I didn't get the goal tonight, but I'm happy that I came away from the game with an assist.
Yeah, that's Troy sitting in a press conference in front of all of the journalists who covered the games and like sounding so confident and so assured at 17. Now he has done lots of media in the last little while too, but like just to sit there after that and speak so well and stuff, it's really, really impressive. And he was also asked about what the future holds for him with Ireland. Of course, he's only just made his debut.
Of course, I've been satisfied with the strides that I've been making and stuff, because obviously I made my debut for Tottenham, and then coming in here, I'm making my debut for Ireland, and I'm just going to keep trying to do what I can do and training hard and stuff like that, and trying to learn off people, and then hopefully like I can go far in the game.
Yeah, now Troy was also asked in that press conference about, you know, if his senior debut will help him with the Irish 21s, and a part of his answer, he said, if I go back to the 21s, meaning he wants to stay with the first team and is confident he can stay with the first team. The manager, Mick McCarthy, is the man who gave him that debut, and he's been telling us all about Mr. Paris.
He stood up and sang last night and he was double confident. He can sing and all, which is, it's dreadful, isn't it? He can do everything. He's confident in here, stands up and sings, he can play football, good looking. Hey ho. Where did it all go wrong for him? No, he'll be all right, we'll try.
He can sing, he's good looking, and he can play football. Nathan, is Mick talking about me or Troy Parrott?
Well, he's definitely not talking about you. I think it'd be more so Mr. Parrott, I'd have to say.
So he stood up on a chair in front of the whole Ireland squad and all the staff and sang a song. If you had to do the footballer initiation, Nate, what would you sing? I'm not going to ask. Well, I might ask you to sing it now, in fact.
Yeah, well, that won't happen because it's my Sunday morning voice.
Okay.
I would have to go with a bit of Stand By Me, Mr. Benny King.
I'd be a Backstreet Boys man.
Oh, you're backing yourself to hit them notes.
You have to sing one that the lads will join into.
And you think they would join in with you singing Backstreet Boys?
Well, you see, in the football teams, we go up on the bus on the first away trip of the year. Everybody has to sing. Yeah. The new players have to sing. And I'd go for, you know, once the first chorus kicks, they're helping you.
Once the first chorus kicks. But how's your notes until that?
Not fantastic.
There we go. At least you're honest.
I'll show you a video during the ad break.
I'll hold you to that.
Now, speaking of videos, offtheball.com and youtube.com/offtheball is a place to watch all of our reaction from Ireland against New Zealand at the Aviva. A 3-1 win and three goal scorers who scored their first goals for Ireland. Derek Williams scored the first. Sean Maguire scored a brilliant second, and Callum Robinson got the third after that fantastic Leo Connor cross. Leo Connor also made his first Ireland senior appearance along with Troy Parrott. And Sean Maguire, what a goal, what a strike, and he was able to tell me all about it.
How did it actually feel when you hit the ball and you knew it was in?
Yeah, it's not really a type of goal that I normally, you know, score. I think the two chances were I got in the first half, they're the type of goals, you know, I score all the time. And to get that one where it just comes out my feet and I said, you know, I just got to hit it. And at the moment it's just left my foot, it's gone into the back of the net, and all them emotions, I made my debut two and a bit years ago. And to finally get that goal tonight is, you know, a dream come true. It's that weight, you know, lifted off my shoulders. And as I mentioned there, now it's a massive game on Monday where we need to get the 3 points.
You always see players on the way to celebrate before the ball hits the net, after they've hit it. Did you know as soon as you whacked it that it was in?
Yeah, it was, I've hit it sweet. I felt that I had to take it, you know, a good touch out of my body and put it into the top corner. And you know, normally I have a celebration or two with me, but tonight I felt that, just as I mentioned there, all emotion and one more. You know, you're scoring for your country is what you dream of doing when you start playing football from a young age, and you know, I'm really delighted to score tonight.
Yeah, that word emotion is something, you know, you've mentioned a lot across your career, scoring goals for all of your clubs really as well, but to do it tonight in the Aviva, I'll be in front of a smaller crowd, but to score that first goal and just the release of emotion, I'm sure maybe you wake up tomorrow and you know, probably have a think about it.
Yeah, it was very similar to my last goal at Aviva, to be fair.
Look, Cork City, of course.
Yeah, no, it was a bit different, but you know, scoring goals, you can't really describe that feeling, especially for the likes of myself. As I mentioned there, just caps keep building. You don't see them goals racking up, and hopefully I can kick on now. Albeit against, no disrespect to New Zealand, but you know, they haven't played in a year and a half. But it could have been a sticky game, but you only have to beat and score what's been put out in front of you, and thankfully I scored tonight.
And you've been competing against the same lads for the last couple of years for that number 9 role, and now in the last few weeks Aaron Connolly's come on the scene, Troy Parrott's come on the scene, you've played wide tonight, there's other younger players as well trying to come for that role. How would you sum up the competition for those spots in the team for these competitive games?
It's brilliant. You know, I've been really pleased with, you know, the way Troy's came in this week. For 17 years of age, he's the build and the stature he's got, and you've seen it tonight. I thought at times he bullied the two centre halves, made runnings in behind, dropped short, and he played a proper number 9's performance tonight. I was really pleased for him. Obviously he set up my goal, but as I mentioned, you know, Aaron unfortunately picked up a niggle and he missed out in these couple of games. But the competition just gets fierce, and you know, you go into training wanting you know, to outbeat your strike partner or whatever, but you know, it's healthy competition.
So whilst this was going out for Monday, and a massive game for this country.
Yeah, look, it's a European Championship, you know, potentially two games in Aviva when we win on Monday, and it's massive for the country. You know, 2 years ago, you know, Denmark, you know, knocked us out in the World Cup playoffs, so. You know, I suppose we want to get revenge on him and get the 3 points on Monday.
Love that Shawnee Maguire, Nathan. He said if, and then he corrected himself quickly with a little smirk on his face. When we win and we want revenge, and most footballers and managers will go, it's a tough game and very difficult and they're a good side. Shawnee's like, when we win, we want revenge, which is refreshingly nice.
It is nice, because it's what most people would be like in that situation. Obviously, you get the nice polished answer from most footballers and those involved in football nowadays, but it is, as you say, nice to see Shawnee being nice and honest.
Now, Shamrock Rovers' Jack Byrne, a great week, the PFAI Player of the Year, awarded by Mick McCarthy last Saturday. And the New Zealand game, Mick McCarthy gave Jack his first start and he was a happy chappy afterwards. How can you sum up the last couple of weeks overall?
Yeah, just brilliant. You know, I've obviously been to Aviva a couple of times, and you know, memories that I can take away with me and you know, tell, you know, bring to the grave with me. So look, it's been a great week, and you know, I'm just looking forward to having a break now as well after Monday.
Yeah, having watched you playing as a kid, you're still playing the same type of Jack Byrne football for Rovers and for Ireland senior team when you were playing for Kevins as a kid. Has that been easy to do, to still play your own style on the biggest stage possible?
Yeah, just trying to, I only know one way to play, and just trying to get on the ball and make things happen. And look, I tried to do that tonight. Sometimes it came off, sometimes it didn't, but look, that's what I tried to do. That's what I'll always do.
And you were still looking for those famous, you know, passes and crosses and trying to get assists as you always do?
Yeah, always. I'm obviously good friends with Troy, so I'm trying to get him a goal, and sometimes forcing it a little bit, but look, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good game.
Yeah, I saw a piece with Troy on FAI TV during the week, and he was speaking about being your roommate and you looking out for him, and it was a great photo of you guys having a smile and a laugh in training. He's a little bit younger than you, but I know you're from the same area. How has it been tonight, for example, making your first start alongside him and his first start?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Look, even just driving into the ground, we're going past, you know, obviously Ballybark and Summer Hill, and his nanny's house is decked out and all the Ireland stuff. So look, it's just good. It's good to have somebody from the same area, and look, hopefully we're doing the people there proud.
And I'm sure that word is very important, proud, that you're from town, he's from town, it's only up the road, and everybody, I'm sure, is very, very proud of both of you.
Yeah, 100%, and even just being in the stadium and seeing familiar faces that you might not have seen in a while coming out and supporting you, it's a nice feel.
Jack Byrne, and lovely, going past Troy Parrott's nanny's house, all decked out in the Ireland gear, and like, people from Dublin love supporting their family, their friends, and just the teams, but like, for Troy Parrott's nanny to have the house done up is just nice and cool and brilliant. And Troy and Jack, best friends, and we're together all week and together walking out and together for the national anthem, and just a nice story, really.
Yeah, and it's good to see two of the promising young prospects coming up together, getting on so well, because chemistry off the field, what does that lead to, Jamie?
It leads to chemistry on the field, Nathan.
You are correct, sir.
Very well made point, sir. Now, as you know, it's Ireland against Denmark, and the boys in green can qualify for Euro 2020 tomorrow. Mick McCarthy's team face Denmark at the Aviva at 7:45, and the 21s under Stephen Kenny face Sweden in a Euro qualifier at Tala Stadium on Tuesday night. And we've got a pair of tickets for both games for one lucky 98FM listener to win right now. If you'd like to win both, text or WhatsApp, come on you boys in green, plus your name and where you are, and the number you need is 0877 98 98 98. That's come on you boys in green, plus your name and where you are, and text or WhatsApp to 0877 98 98 98, and we'll give one winner a pair of tickets for Ireland-Denmark on Monday night in the senior game, and Ireland-Sweden on Tuesday night in the under-21s. And Nathan, the texts and WhatsApps are coming in already.
I promise I'm not one of them this time.
And I've got like so many like people I know WhatsApp me privately going, can you get tickets? Have you got tickets? Is there any tickets? There's only one pair of tickets and they're on the radio now. So you've got to tune in to win. And if you want to send us a WhatsApp voice note like some people did last week with either yourself or your kids being cute and cheering on the team, you can definitely do so on that same number, 0877 98 98 98. And I mentioned the 21s, Nathan, and it's been a decent week for the Ireland underage teams from 21s right down to 17s.
Yes, as you mentioned, the 17s there, they were in Euro qualifying action on Friday. They recorded a 3-1 win over Montenegro. A brace for Ben McCormick and another for Alex McNulty, I should say.
Yes, Ben McCormick is a dub. Plays for St. Pat's, great player, yeah.
And Alex McNulty gave them all 3 points. Tomorrow they are in action again against Israel at Turner's Cross. Kickoff there is at 2 p.m. They currently sit top of their group with 6 points. Meanwhile, the under-19s recorded a 13-0 win over Gibraltar. Get this, Jamie, 9 different scorers, 1 own goal and 4 goals for Tyreek Samuel Wright capped off a great win. They are in action again on Tuesday against Austria at the HSE Arena.
Did you say 13-0?
13.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good win.
Ah, does all right for goal difference. But as you mentioned, the 19s are sitting third in their group with 1 win and 1 loss. Switzerland sits second with the same, and Austria are top with the maximum points from their 2 games. As you mentioned, we have tickets to give away to Stephen Kenny's men's next game, but they secured a hard-fought 1-0 win away to Armenia in their Euro qualifier. Zach Elbazetti gave the boys in green a well-deserved lead in the 63rd minute before Dara O'Shea was harshly sent off with 15 minutes to go for stopping a goal-scoring opportunity. Next up for the 21s, as you mentioned, Sweden on Tuesday night at Tala Stadium at 8 p.m. They sit top of their qualifying group, 3 points ahead of Italy, who have 2 games in hand. And the Ireland women, Vera Powell's, were unfortunate not to come away with all 3 points against Greece. Amber Barrett's wonderful love gave them an early lead, but a last gasp equaliser for the home side meant they shared the points. They sit second in their group with 2 wins and 1 draw behind Germany, who have 4 wins and 31 goals scored with none conceded. They're certainly going to prove a tough test.
Yeah, that Germany team is really, 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 really good. And best luck as well to Jason Donoghue on the Ireland under 15. They're going to play Poland in 2 internationals in Galway this week as well. And they had a great 3 wins out of 3 in the UEFA Development Tournament earlier in the year, last month actually. So the best of luck to the young boys in green. And international week for the senior team is great, but also in general, all the underage teams and the women's team also playing that week as well. So again, best of luck to all of those Irish teams. And more chance to win tickets for Ireland against Denmark and the 21s v Sweden coming up in a few minutes' time. We'll also hear from Robbie Brady, Alan Judge, Alan Brown, James McLean and Darren O'Dea. We're back in a sec.
98FM, now that's what I call sport.
Now we're going to hear from more boys in green in a few moments' time, including Robbie Brady, Alan Judge, Alan Brown and James McLean. But it's time for myself and Nathan to round up what else is going on across the weekend. And Leinster began their European Champions Cup campaign with a bonus point win yesterday.
They did indeed. An impressive 33-19 win over Benetton. They are one of the 3 provinces who picked up victories over this weekend so far. Ulster were the others. They recorded a 17-16 win away to Bath, while Munster came away with a 32-13 win away to the Ospreys. Connacht, of course, are in action today. They welcome Montpellier to the sports ground. Kickoff there is at 1 p.m.
Yeah, the Leinster head coach has been chatting to our Neil Tracy.
Leo Cullen, bonus point victory, so job done in that respect. What are the overall thoughts on that win?
Yeah, we're pleased with the overall outcome of the game. Yeah, some bits in it, you know, some good and some maybe things that we can certainly get better at, probably both sides of the ball. So attack, I thought Treviso made it difficult because they're big, strong, heavy in the contact, and they try to slow us up at the round the ruck time where, you know, the referee penalised them a good few times where they're flopping, but it just means that the game's a little bit disjointed, I thought, so we never quite get into a proper flow. Defensively, I thought, you know, they were big, strong, physical against us. You know, we probably almost got a little bit shocked, it looked like, it in terms of the level of physical aggression that they bring, you know, so they get in for this try just at this end, where we don't. We actually get turned over in attack, they kick the corner, and you know, we've seen that image from them a few times already this year, happened to us over there. So, and they've an amazing ability just to hang in in the game. We found in the game when we played Treviso in round one where they went into the lead later in the game against us, and you know, we had to fight back, so we know they'll hang in there. So yeah, credit to them. I thought they provided very stiff examination for our guys.
Looking ahead to next week, Leon next weekend coming up in round two of this competition, an unknown quantity, I suppose, for you going to play. You haven't really been there before.
Yeah, well, we've been to Leon. We lost the semi-final against
the team itself, I suppose.
But Leon, yeah. So yeah, we took a look at them a few weeks ago over there. So yeah, no, they're very well coached team under Pierre Mignoni. They have a very good mix of, you know, very experienced players that have been around and understand what is involved at top level rugby, with a lot of very talented young French players as well. So they have a very good mix in their squad, and they've invested very, very heavily. So yeah, no, they're definitely a team that we need to make sure we prepare as best as possible this week.
The Leinster head coach Leo Cullen. You can also hear from Gary Ringrose on offtheball.com. And Leon against Leinster takes place next Saturday, and that is a 3:15 kickoff. Now, Nathan, a good night last night for the girls in blue, sir.
Yes, there was the awards show, of course, everyone knows about last night. Dublin's Sinead Goldrick won a 7th All-Star in 8 years. There's a 5th award for Lindsay Davey, who was the player of the match against Galway in the TG Carr All-Ireland Senior Championship Final. Siobhan McGrath was honoured with her 4th award and claimed the Senior Players Player of the Year. Well, there's a 3rd award for teammate Carla Rowe. The Team of the Year, there were 4 survivors from the 2018 All-Star team, and of course, 3 of those from Dublin. Sinead Goldrick, Siobhan McGrath and Lindsay Davey were named, while the others from the capital were Carla Rowe, Niamh Collins, Alwyn Carey and Niamh McAvoy. So a huge congratulations to all the girls in blue.
Yes, and RIP to Fran Ray, who was the legend of the Dublin District Schoolboys League for years and years and years, and passed away this week, and his funeral was massively well attended. So from all of us here at 98FM, RIP to Fran Ray, and yeah, rest in peace, Fran. Nathan, 98FM's League of Ireland Sunday, it's like the off-season, so we don't do a full kind of piece all the time, but there was a big final at Richmond Park yesterday, and I'm a very happy man this morning.
I wonder why, because St. Pat's recorded an impressive 4-0 win over Athlone in the Leinster Senior Cup Final. A very, very young St. Pat's side, I might add, born between 1999 and 2004. Goals from man of the match, Kyle Robinson, Brandon Hull, Daniel Dobbin and Jake Walker. It was a fitting cup celebrating their 90th anniversary as a club, so congratulations to them. Now, Jamie, I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Because there was 5 senior trophies up for grabs for League of Ireland clubs this year. Vinnie Perth, Stephen Bradley and Ian Morris won 4 of them. Can you name the 5th?
Well, it's me.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Congratulations, sir.
Well, you did know that.
Of course I knew that.
Because you do all the research and you know, you never get things wrong.
I never get anything wrong.
But yeah, so the Pat's first team were finished, so the Pat's under-19s were playing the game, and yeah, so we played the semi-final against Sheriff and we played the final against Athlone yesterday and won the game 4-0. Really young team. Brian Maher, I think the youngest captain in Pat's history at just 19 to lift the trophy, and we had 15-year-olds involved in 16, 17, 18, 19 and 120-year-old Paul Cleary was there. So yeah, we're all very happy and great to help the club win a trophy. And Harry Kenny, the previous manager, and Stephen O'Donnell, the current manager, also managing this competition this year, and myself. So 3 managers have managed the team this year, and it's just brilliant and deadly, and we're all really happy. And I walked out of Richmond last night and the stadium lights were off, and I just took a photo of like the stand in the dark, and it was like, that's a wrap for 2019, and just was able to like take it all in, and it was great. So well done to the lads and congrats, and yeah, we're ready to go for 2020. So brilliant stuff, thanks a million. Now, I also want to give a shout out, Nathan, to Hote Celtic FC. We just got a text on our WhatsApp number, 0877 98 98 98. They had a big win, 3-2 against Clontarf on Friday night, and Stephen Gilmore, their top scorer, scored, so this message said. He also missed a sitter, apparently the worst miss in the history of League of Ireland or of Leinster Senior League football. He missed. Jeff Hanratty, player coach, was involved in the game as well. Jeff was apparently fantastic, and yeah, Nuggets, Daniel Harkin, great, and Hote Celtic, brilliant. So well done to them, and thanks for that WhatsApp, an anonymous WhatsApp, but I think it was someone that doesn't really like Stephen Gilmore saying he missed the sitter.
Well, I'm sure that's a nice way to get a subtle dig in.
Yes, but yeah, well done to Hote Celtic. Now, we're going to hear from Martina Cox, of course, the wife of Sean Cox, who was very seriously injured in an unprovoked attack by Italian football fans outside Anfield in April 2018. Now, last weekend, Liverpool beat Man City, and Martina and Sean were there and the family, and it was Sean's first return to Anfield since that attack. And Martina gave Nathan Murphy an update.
Well, Martina, this, I'm sure, no doubt, is a bittersweet day in many ways for the family. Sean back watching his beloved Liverpool, but for the family, been so close to the scene of the incident that night. How are the emotions on a day like this?
Pretty high, to be honest. It's great to have him back, but at the same time, you know, it is bittersweet. You know, Sean's coming back in a different capacity. You know, he's in a wheelchair. You know, he's got lifelong injuries. But look, it's a good day, and we're really going to enjoy it. And I think it'll be a great boost for Sean.
How is Sean?
Yeah, he's good. He's doing well. He's in a rehab facility in Sheffield. He's been there since September, so he's starting to make progress. They're happy with him. You know, there's a lot of different therapies that he's getting here that he didn't necessarily get back home, which is really good. So, he's making progress. You know, he's in the hydro pool. You know, with the help of two therapy assistants, he's walking. You know, he does need a lot of assistance to walk, but you know, I think with time and a lot more intensive rehab, you know, he will improve, and you know, and that's a good thing, you know.
Jurgen Klopp was writing in his pre-match programme notes about you and the family and the courage and the spirit that you've shown. How have you been over the last few months, particularly having to move away from home and come over here to where Sean is getting his treatment in Sheffield?
Yeah, it's been tough for the family. Like, I'm here with Sean and the children are at home. They're kind of commuting back and forth. We're actually out of our house at the minute, so they're living in rented accommodation, so it's a little bit topsy-turvy, but we're just doing it. It's for Sean. It's all about Sean's recovery, and you know, being there, I think, has been really good for Sean, encouraging him, and he needs that, you know.
And what does having a day like this, the biggest match of the season, coming to Anfield, sold out, the support that he has gotten, you and his family have got, of the support, has been able to come here, what do you think it means to him?
It means a lot, and it means an awful lot to the family. Like, we, you know, without the support and, you know, all the fundraising, what LFC have done, you know, we wouldn't be in Sheffield with Sean, and he wouldn't be getting the care. So that means everything to us.
Some fantastic photos after the game of Sean Cox down in the tunnel with Jurgen Klopp and with some of the players, and a video on the LFC's Twitter page, which if you haven't watched it, go and find it, behind the scenes look at Sean's day, Diviva, and like Jordan Henderson, the captain, giving him a proper lovely hug and said something private clearly in his ear, and the support that, you know, the local community in Dunboyne and, you know, wider Ireland and Liverpool and everybody, the support that family has got just shows the power of people and the power of football.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a Liverpool fan, of course. You know my feelings towards the club. Obviously, I can say they're a great team, but you can see the great family spirit behind the club. And when you see something like that, you really can't help but applaud it. You know, obviously, Sean's come through a horrendous ordeal and he's fighting back stronger than ever. Obviously, it's great to see that the club acknowledged that and recognised that.
Yes. Now, 10 years ago tomorrow, something bad happened, Nathan, and some of the papers have some memories.
Oh, very, very bad memories. I don't know where you were, Jamie, for the hand of Henri, but on Monday it will mark 10 years to the day that Henri's hand ensured that we didn't go to a World Cup finals. Where were you when you saw that?
I don't actually know. We were chatting about this in the ad break. I watched the game, like, and I can't remember. I can't remember at all, but, like, oh my God, he literally caught the ball with his left hand and knocked us out of the World Cup.
It was horrendous. I was at home watching it with my entire family. Obviously, Robbie Keane scored on the night, gave us all hope, and we all went to extra time. Traps after leading us to a possible World Cup finals. And then Thierry Henry only short of hopping in solo before hand passing it into William Gallas to break our hearts. But yeah, a decade tomorrow, Jamie. How time flies.
Indeed, yes. And you can check out offtheball.com for loads of stuff around that. There's a special series of interviews and pieces that you can watch and listen to and read as well. So that's the place to find that. Now, tickets for Ireland's Euro 2020 qualifier against Denmark at the Aviva tomorrow, and under-21 qualifier against Sweden at Tala Stadium on Tuesday. If you'd like to win, you've got a text or WhatsApp. Come on, you boys in green, plus your name and where you are and the number number you need is 0877 98 98 98. That's Come On You Boys in Green, plus your name and where you are, and text or WhatsApp to 0877 98 98 98. And we will announce the winner of those tickets. And the person that's going to win is going to get a pair of tickets for each game at the end of the show, which is at about 5 to 10 this morning. Now, we're back to previewing Ireland against Denmark. In a moment, we're going to hear from Alan Brown. But I've been chatting to Alan George and, firstly, Robbie Brady.
You've been involved in huge weeks for Ireland across your Ireland career. How does this week compare? If we get the result we want, it could be another massive week for Ireland and for you as an Ireland player.
Yeah, definitely. I think in previous groups we've been in, we've always had good spells and then not so good spells throughout the group, but we always end up giving ourselves a great chance, which we have done now on Monday night. But now it's just as big. It's a massive game, and it means a lot to all of us. We were so disappointed, obviously, the last time round, but we've put ourselves in a good spot now, and we'll be looking forward to coming away with a memorable and a hopefully historic result now come next week.
I'm sure you've watched all the games that you haven't been involved in, whether that be on TV or maybe at the stadium for some of the home games. What have you made of the performances and the campaign overall?
I think it's been good. We started off brilliant. The final end games of the group were always going to be difficult if you're looking at them. But I thought we gave a good account of ourselves throughout the whole campaign. Maybe a couple of games not as good as others, but hopefully we can put it all right and put it together, and we'll all be pushing in the right direction, like I said, to go and give a good account of ourselves on Monday.
And you faced Denmark as an Ireland player quite often in the last couple of years as well. What's your memories of those fixtures that we've had against them, with hopefully another big one to come on Monday?
Well, obviously the last one was disappointing. We've had some good games, and they're a big, strong physical team as well as having some players who can really play. But like I said, we'll be focusing on ourselves now. I certainly don't want to feel the disappointment like I did the last time. But now it's a good opportunity and a good chance for us to show what we're about, and hopefully we can all gel together and like I said, come up with a valuable result.
And for you, Alan, again, does it feel like a massive, massive week as an Ireland footballer?
Because obviously what happened to me last time, I missed out on the Euros from injury-wise, and, you know, to be this close now, it'd be great to get there. And if Robbie plays, to be honest with you, I just want us to get there. So I think that's why everybody's looking forward to it now.
The voices of Alan George and Robbie Brady. Now for another Alan Brown of Preston North End. Nathan Murphy caught up with him on... That game was on... Thursday, wasn't it?
It was.
Turn your microphone. Thursday, yeah?
It was.
But all these international stuff, you kind of get confused, but it was Thursday, and Alan Brown played in the game as kind of an experienced player and told Nathan about it.
Is it possible to compare a game like that with a qualifier? Because there was a lot of good football played there. There was a lot of midfielders getting on the ball, doing the right thing, getting into the right areas. That didn't happen in the last two games. Is it just a totally different type of atmosphere that we're going to see on Monday night, where it's going to be incredibly difficult to replicate that style?
I'd hope that it wouldn't be any different, but I think I'd be naive to say it won't. A qualifier with so much on the line, it just transforms the game. You approach it a lot differently. Your mindset is obviously different, knowing that you have to win the game. You know, tonight you can make a mistake and, you know, you get away with it. You're not really punished in a sense. But come Monday night, it'll be any mistake, you know, it might come down to that, and that could be the defining moment. So I think it'll be a little bit nervy, but, you know, we're going out with good intentions to win the game and play the right style of football, and hopefully we can overcome the opposition.
We obviously have this constant battle in Irish football between style of play, quality of football, and the end result. Monday night is very much, it feels, an end result time of night. It's one of those nights that we can be like Shane Long's goal against Germany, this Irish footballing moment, a packed house. Are you thinking about that a lot? Are you thinking about what this group can achieve on Monday night? Does that bring nerves, or does it just bring pure excitement?
Well, I think it brings, obviously, with a little bit of nerves, but I think that can be a good thing. You know what the outcome brings, and, you know, the whole country will come together for one game, and, you know, we'll leave everything out there, give it our all, and hopefully we can create one of those moments in Irish history of overcoming them and getting the result that we all want.
Sport. James McLean has been a key feature of Ireland's rivalry with Denmark over the last couple of years, and I've been asking him all about it.
What sort of words would you use if I asked you to describe the Ireland v Denmark rivalry over recent times?
Boring. Because there's been a lot of draws. No, I think they've seemed to be a bit more disrespectful towards us than we have towards them. We don't really talk about them. I think they, even in the game in Denmark, they came out with a few quotes here and there leading up to the game. Look, it doesn't affect us. We've got a job at hand to do. It's going to be a tough ask, of course, because they're a good side. But, yeah, born. But hopefully it's another born night on Monday, but we come out on the right side of the scoreline.
And from your own point of view, you know, in the build-up to these games, would you watch or listen or read what they've said? Like, I interviewed Kasper Schmeichel after a couple of games in the Aviva, and I just thought he was very disrespectful towards Ireland, even sometimes towards the Irish journalists and the questions they were asking him. And we've heard Peter Schmeichel and others have made comments. Do you personally use them in the build-up, read them, would it give you any extra motivation?
No, look, obviously you hear about them, and I have that sense of kind of, well, you want to shut them up, you know, that's just natural. But I wouldn't say I get fixated really on spending the whole time thinking, well, I want to, you know, prove these wrong. And yeah, of course I wouldn't say it takes up too much of my day. No,
I certainly have a sense from watching the games and covering the games that they don't like playing against Ireland. They don't like playing against, you know, players like you. They want to get in their face and want to upset them and stuff. Is that a sense you get too, having played in the games?
No, look, we just have to, well, you go into every game wanting to give your all and whatever style that may be. No, it doesn't bother me. Like I said, if we can make it an uncomfortable night on Monday and get in their faces and just make them think, well, we don't fancy this, then great. But in the same sense, we still need to win, so we need to do it in the right way. And if a chance comes along, we need to make sure we're clinical, because you're not going to get too many chances against them.
You can watch our full chat with James McLean right now on youtube.com/offtheball. Pleasure as always to welcome our resident Ireland expert, former Ireland man and current Celtic under 18 manager Darren O'Dea, back to the show. Darren, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Jamie.
So Darren, James McLean says the rivalry in the games have been boring. Hopefully at the Aviva tomorrow, we're not bored.
Well, I think that'll all be dependent on the results. As he says, I don't expect the game to be full of quality, and I never do with Ireland's games, but if we get a big result, a memorable result, no one will care less. So, fingers crossed we can get it.
Now, as someone who's played for Ireland, Darren, and you're now a manager, but you've also been and are still in the media, James was speaking there about how he feels the Danes have been disrespectful to Ireland. I definitely agree with him. And I watched back my own interview with Kasper Schmeichel from last year, and he was just very kind of dismissive of Ireland and stuff. Do you believe that the Ireland players will use that and have heard that and seen that and read that in the build-up?
It's funny, usually I would say no. I don't think players pay too much attention to the media and certainly what opposition say, but I do think Irish players will. I think it's something that's in my experience of being in the Irish camp, there's characters and such in the squad that would take offence. And I don't like saying the word try harder, because they won't, but it'll wind them up. And I find it strange from the Danes a little bit to do it, because in all honesty, if it comes down to a game of quality and who's going to produce the best football, they'll beat us. When it comes down to a fight, Ireland are at their best. So I find it strange that they try to poke Ireland a little bit, because, as I said, I think Ireland are at their best when they're aggressive and on the front foot, and I expect that performance on Monday night.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's not something that, you know, it's actually stuck on the wall of the changing room, stuff from the papers or whatever, but it might be a case, you know, when they come in from the warm-up, the senior players might be saying something, or Mick McCarthy might do a huddle and they might just be a little sort of reminder of what they've said and it's time to shut them up type thing?
Yeah, quite possibly. I would like to think that more goes on before the game, that they're talking about how they're going to tactically beat Denmark, which I'm sure is the case. But yeah, absolutely, and someone like James McLean is a fiery character that wears his heart on his sleeve, and I have no doubt that this early on the game especially, that those words will ring in James McLean's ears, and probably the first ball that he has to compete with, you'll probably see it coming out of him. So yeah, I find it strange that the Danes do it, because in terms of quality, they beat us no questions asked. But in terms of a fight and a battle, Ireland are at their best. So hopefully they'll be ruining them words tomorrow evening after the game.
And if we do see the fighting Ireland, Darren, which we will, and we do see the Denmark football, which we will, how confident are you that the boys in green can come through this game by any way possible and win?
This is the conundrum I always have. My head tells me Ireland have no chance because they've shown no evidence really in recent games that they have the quality to go and beat Denmark. I said it at the very start of the campaign. I think it was Mick McCarthy's first presser that you went into and said that I said I didn't think Robbie Keane could score on this team. I think the statistics will show you Ireland don't have very rarely have many attempts on goal. We don't create chances. We very rarely control any games. So all the evidence would suggest that Denmark will beat us comfortably, but always my heart tells me that Ireland always have a chance, and usually when you go to write them off, that's when they produce the biggest performances and the biggest results. So my head would tell me we don't have a chance of beating Denmark, but my heart will probably rule my head and tell me we're going to win.
I mentioned earlier on, Darren, that I'm bringing my little cousin Arch to his first Ireland game. I'm not actually working at the game tomorrow. A couple of the lads are going to cover it, and I'm going to watch it in the stand as a fan, and I'm really looking forward to kind of being around that, because when you're in the press box, you can't really, well, you can celebrate, and you miss parts of the game because you're doing tweets or you're on air or whatever too. And, you know, I'm looking forward to being involved in the atmosphere, and having played in big games for Ireland yourself, how key can the Irish fans be tomorrow, it being at home, it being at the Aviva, and it likely to be sold out, and that hostility that, you know, maybe the Irish players have towards the Danes, the fans will be very, very much up to cheer on the team too, as they always are, but particularly on these big nights.
Yeah, it'll be huge. It'll be a huge part of it, because as I said, we go down to a straight shootout of who's technically and tactically better, Denmark will win the game. So we have to turn the game into exactly what Denmark are moaning about in the press and exactly what they don't want. And that's a bit of a scrap. And it's about more about guts rather than quality. And the Irish fans will relate to that. I think Irish people relate to that and will react to that. And the Aviva can be a really, really good place then to play football. But I think if Ireland were to sit off and I don't want to use the word patient because obviously that's can be a good thing, but if they're passive in what they do in terms of on the ball and off the ball, it'll affect the crowd as well, and that's the last thing we need. We need this to be a fiery encounter with high energy, and if that's the case, I think Ireland have a real chance. But my worry is that we go and revert to old in terms of sitting off the game and defending really deep and leaving forward players isolated, creating not a lot of chances or excitement in the game. And if that's the case, we'll really, really struggle. And so will the crowd to stay animated. So I'm really, really hoping Ireland really go for it. And obviously with the backup of the playoff behind, there's really nothing to lose. So we may as well go for it.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, people who think the game against New Zealand the other night and the passing football and the pressing football that Ireland did is going to be the same on tomorrow night, I think they're a little bit mistaken. But 100%, that's fans depending on the players to get them going, and players, you know, even though they're very, very, very up for it themselves, that extra bit of spark that the fans can give them can be a very, very nice cocktail for an Irish team to pick up a big result, Darren.
Yeah, of course it can. Whether they're passive or not in the game, the Irish players will be super motivated. They always are. They'll give absolutely everything, no doubt about that. We'll get 11 players plus however many subs giving absolutely everything to win a game of football. That I never doubt. It's the lack of quality sometimes that we've had, and not even quality, sometimes just how we defend off the ball. Irks me a little bit that we defend so deep that we never have a chance then to create anything going forward. And as I said at the start of the campaign, it was something that was happening at the end of Martin O'Neill's era, and it's happened now again where we don't create any chances, and it's near impossible for forward players to score goals. So I'm hoping we see a different performance tomorrow night, and we see us more on the front foot. And I think if we do that, we have a real chance.
And Darren, lastly and briefly, if you can please, as we're rapidly running out of time, we've spoken about this a couple of times across the campaign, but now that we're kind of a day away from Ireland and the chance to actually qualify and know that we have two games in the tournament in Dublin, what would that mean to everybody if it does happen and we're the day before it could happen now?
It's euphoria. Ireland as a country goes absolutely mental when we qualify for tournaments. So the players hopefully can do it, and the whole country then can look forward to a big tournament.
Great stuff, Darren, as always. Thanks a million. The best of luck for the rest of the season with Celtic, and we'll hopefully not speak to you for a while, because if we are, it means that Ireland are in the playoff, if that makes sense.
Brilliant, Jamie. Thank you.
Cheers, Darren. Thanks, Emil. Now, that's just a bit for another week on the That's What I Call Sport. Thank you very much for listening, and to all of our guests. If you tuned in late and you want to hear our special on Ireland, which the majority of the show was dedicated to, we heard from debutant Troy Parrott, Jack Byrne, James McLean, Robbie Brady, Alan George, Alan Brown and Darren O'Dea, as you just heard there. Plus Nick McCarthy telling us how good Troy Parrott is at singing and also how good looking he is. We chatted to Martina Cox about her husband Sean Cox and his recovery. He returned to Anfield last weekend, and we heard from the Leinster head coach Leo Cullen as well. That's all in the podcast section of 98fm.com. Our winner of our competition for a pair of tickets for Ireland v Denmark and Ireland v Sweden in the 21s qualifier at Tala on Tuesday. Now, a random computer has picked out Richard Dunn from Coolock. Now, I know that's not Richard Dunn, the ex-Ireland footballer, because I'm sure he could get free tickets and he lives in France, so it's actually not Richard Dunn from Coolock. I hope it's not. I don't think it is. So congrats, Richard Dunn. We'll be in touch with you folks. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your day and come on Ireland. See you. Bye-bye.
98 FMs. Now that's what I call sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9. Only on 98 FM.